I do remark that I know a bit about, again, that I don't know anything about, so.
And the Village are the All-Ireland champions, 19 points to 14. Who said they couldn't win it?
You're welcome along to Season 3 of the James Stephens Podcast. I'm Liam Kelly O'Rourke, and over the next little while, we'll be looking back and ahead to some of the biggest stories that's got the Village talking. On this week's edition, we hear from club players Stephen Minogue and Sean Bergen, who both featured in the winning St Kieran's College team, who defeated St Raphael's of Loughrea in the All-Ireland Crow Cup Final. We'll also hear from Jeff Nary and Aaron McAvoy, two proud Greig Ballycallan players with strong James Stephens connections. Meanwhile, Jackie Turrell spoke to the BBC recently. We'll hear some of the highlights, and we'll also delve into some other club matters as Diarmaid Berry, senior football manager, joins us to reflect on their season so far, while juvenile chairman Kieran Brennan brings us up to speed with the upcoming Easter camp. But we start in Croke Park last Saturday and the All-Ireland Schools champions St Kieran's College.
Two James Stephens lads here delighted with themselves. Stephen Minogue. Stephen, they got one goal anyway, but it was the first all year. You've had a brilliant year in goal for Kieran's. How did you see that match from the position you were in?
I suppose, yeah, the backs did very well, and suppose first goal all year, but it was always going to come really a goal, and luckily now the backs kept them out for the rest of the game, and thank God they only got the one anyway.
Sean Bergen, you were under a fair bit of pressure at times, Sean. They had some tough forwards, but you did brilliant to defend it.
Yeah, look, Rayfield's a great team. They have some smashing forwards, but we just stuck to our plan. We started working out the ball in the first half and the second half, and then we just kept them out and got a few scores in the end.
Going into extra time, Stephen, were you concerned at that stage?
No, not really. We knew we had the fitness. We'd be doing a lot of hard training all year, and we knew how it had the subs also, so thank God we got over the line, yeah.
Sean, they were very strong in the air. I mean, they were fielding, the centre forward in particular, Paddy McCarrick, was fielding a lot of ball there. That was causing a little bit of bother, but you got to grips with it eventually.
Yeah, we were looking at him there last day. He got 7 or 8 points from play, so we knew we had lads. Carl Hickey was there catching balls after puckouts, and we were able to handle him there for a while and quieting him down a bit.
Great way to finish, Stephen, your time in Kieran's. Two All-Ireland finals, two in Croke Park. You'll remember these couple of years.
Yeah, it's brilliant now to finish with two All-Irelands. You're going to have these memories for life, and it's great to do with your schoolmates and friends. So I'm delighted now, yeah.
Well done, Sean and Stephen, and good luck to you, and good luck to James Stephen.
Nicky Brennan asking the questions there. Seven James Stephens players were part of the St Kieran's panel on the day, but two other players, two very proud Greig Ballycallan players, Jeff Nary and Aaron McAvoy, even at an early age, are crucial figures in the sky blue jersey. But they're not without Village connections, with Jeff's mother, Village woman, while Aaron's dad, Brian, was an instrumental hurler for James Stephens back in the day. Here were their thoughts after the match.
Brilliant day there today now, and it was all the sweeter now with the tough battle. Like, you had to win that, so it was unreal now, win by only a couple of points after extra time.
You had to work very hard to win that.
Oh, it was absolutely so tough now. There was one of our toughest games all year, I'd say, and it's just brilliant to come out on top now after a tough game like that.
Well, Aaron McAvoy, you were in great form from the freeze today, hugely important in a game that was so tight to pop them over the bar. Did you feel any pressure taking them, Aaron?
No, not really now. I normally suffer with nerves a bit of time taking the freeze, but today was a bit of a different story, I suppose. The first one went over, so I kind of got a bit of confidence from that, and look, what happened after that was what happened. Like, we weren't really expecting them to come as hard as they did, and look, we just started popping over the scores in the second half, and it was tit for tat, and obviously extra time then, your man got the free at the end, and half time, we were up by 2 points, I think it was, and thank God we drove on in the end, and delighted to get out the victory.
Jeff, when it went to extra time, you know, I know you gave a good rousing address here in the dressing room, egg them on here. Well, you had any concerns, or did you feel you had something in the tank to still win that game?
Oh, no, we're a strongly built team now. I thought we had the fitness over them, and we were just happy to play another 20 minutes in the Kieran's jersey, so we had to push on from that and make the most of it now, because we were lucky enough to get another 20 minutes, and thankfully we did. Brilliant memories now. It was unbelievable now last year, and then even better this year now, especially when you're in sixth year. Like, I think it means a little bit more to you because it's one of your last games ever for Kieran, so it was unreal.
We're a very tight-knit group. We're like a family in here, but I suppose when we go back to the clubs and start playing against each other, it's a different story, because we both want to get the win, but I know we're a very tightly knit group, and if it comes to that, I suppose that's what it is like.
Jackie Turrell is one of the greatest players the club has produced, winning club, provincial and All-Ireland success with the Red and Green, and 9 All-Ireland titles with Kilkenny, to name just some of his awards. But how did he get over the line? But how did he reach those heights? And what levels of obsession did he have to go to? He spoke to the BBC GA podcast recently.
I was tagging Lar for the day. I remember before, I was like, right, Lar was hurler of the year, and he was kind of the front runner for this year, and I was going to be marking him the All-Ireland, and I was like, right, I have to get into this lad's head. I have to be so wound for this lad. So, you know, I was watching videos, I was scrutinising, I was watching what colour boots he's wearing, everything. I Googled him, his photo, screenshot, put as my screensaver on my phone. Every time I took my phone out, there's Larry Corbett looking at me. I was just gone mental. After a week or so, I was like, I have to take his face off my phone. If people see this, or, do you know, that kind of level of obsession, I was just like, Jesus, relax, Jackie, it's just a match. This is like 2 or 3 weeks out from an All-Ireland, you know.
So unhealthy, do you think it was unhealthy?
Absolutely, yeah, yeah. There's a balance with being prepared and being in the zone, and then it can consume you. And at times I feel my career consumed me.
More from Jackie later. Now, the club's senior footballers have an unblemished record in league football so far, winning all of their league matches to date. Here's team manager Dermot Berry.
Going well so far, Liam. We played 4 league games and we're lucky enough to win all 4 of them. So we beat Loughlin's, Tulliher, Lisdowney and Munkine. So that qualifies us for a league final against Thomastown on Good Friday.
And again, no matter be it hurling or football, a county final at any level or a league final, I suppose it shortens the winter for the players.
It does, yeah. This has been, the league starts now early, first weekend in February. So the 4 games were every week, which is a great bit of momentum. And it's great to get to a league final, just some bit of reward, because the lads have been very well in the 4 games and made a good effort. So we qualified deservedly, I think, for the final now. We've Thomastown that, who are a pretty good outfit. They won the senior championship a couple of years ago. So we'll be up against it there, but we'll give it a good shot anyway. Loughlin's match, I think, was 1-5-4, was one of the lower scoring ones. Fionn Cody got a goal there. We bet Tulliher then well enough, 3-10-1-5. Tulliher were down a good few fellas that weekend, I think. Lisdowney then 2-8-1-8 was good scoring again. And Munkine then 2-5-1-5 was a real battle down there that evening to hang on to the win. But yeah, the scoring has been good. Some of the lads, Jim Ryan, the Smuffin corner back and scored a few goals. John Cody's got a few goals as well. So we're not going too bad in the scoring stakes, and we're improving a little bit of every game, I think. Mm.
We saw what happened on the inter-county front 2 years ago with Kilkenny beating New York in the All-Ireland Junior Final. And did that have any impact going down to club level in terms of putting in that little bit more effort, building a bit of a team bond amongst the lads as well? Football is always going to be the second sport in Kilkenny, but there just does seem to be some gradual improvements. Again, all of it is relative, of course, though.
Yeah, it does. I see the one that made it got Croke Park there to play sort of bits over weekend there. I suppose it raised the profile a bit to get a chance to play football in Croke Park and win the junior championship there a couple of years ago. It would be great if it ever happens to get a team back into the National League again. I suppose that would be the pinnacle to get back into Division 4 again. But whether that happens or not, I don't know. But in fairness to the county board, they started to put the football completely before the hurling now, which would be a big help, really, to get the majority of run off the league and the championship. Whether that's February, March into April, to have a sort of defined season on it would be a big help. I mean, we had a good up. We had 7 or 8 or 9 or maybe 10 of the senior hurlers have played in this league altogether by the time we're finished. I mean, there's great preparation for hurling. I mean, the best preparation you get would be Gaelic football. And a lot of lads have done that. But I mean, we've used maybe, I think, around 30 players in those 4 games. So there's plenty of lads willing to play football anyway. So if the fixtures are regular, you'll be able to get the interest in it.
The way hurling is going, and I know they're two very different sports, but I'm sure there is some crossover maybe in terms of the tactics and the short game in hurling as well. The picking up little benefits and little subtleties in football won't do you any harm when it does come to the hurling.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I'm not sure we all love the way hurling is going with the short passing, that kind of thing, but Gaelic football is very much a help towards that. Lads running off the shoulder and support play and things like that. I mean, when you're playing Gaelic football, it's a second nature to you. So I think the short passing seems to be around more in hurling, whether we like it or not. So Gaelic football will be great preparation for lads that go on to the hurling season then after.
whether you're going to an inter-county hurling match or a club hurling match, wherever in the country, that just seems to be the style that's taken over now. And whether it's a trend for the short term or here to say, I suppose James Stevens and other clubs in Kilkenny have to adapt to that. And as I said, football won't do any harm in that regard.
No, it'll help it along now. And we have some great lads. Brian Sheeran is coaching the team this year, along with Cormac Bean, Dennis Carney, Noel Larkin are selectors as well. So they're lads who know the game. I mean, Brian and Cormac would have played senior club football in Dublin at a high level. And Richie Minogue and Tony Scanlon have helped out a good lot as well. And those lads would have kept football strong in the village for the last 4 or 5 years. So it's certainly been used more, I say, in the last few years in preparation for hurling. If fellas want to improve in hurling, they'll come along and do a bit of football. Mm. You know, so it would certainly be a help. It's funny, I mean, football was the old traditional style football, 15 positions on you play. And even the club football in Kilkenny has become 10, 11, 12 lads get behind the ball at certain times. And I was involved a little bit of coaching team last year when Richie was manager. And I think the ball was thrown in the first game and say, we'll see what happens here. And then all the half-forward line jogged down into the half-back line and the midfielders went back. And all of a sudden there's a wall of players, like you're watching Tyrone or someone like that. So it has certainly changed in the way it's done. Even training the team now this year, Brian is doing the training. We're doing little bits of things, patterns of play that wouldn't have been there years ago. And it's certainly not as attractive to look at it as it was years ago. There's no doubt about that. But you just have to do it. If any team lines up in a defensive fashion, you have to mirror what they're doing to have any chance of winning the game.
Your own involvement with football in the club, where did that stem from?
Football in the club here. Well, I'm a Wexford man originally. St. Anne's and Wexford being my own club. We would have played senior hurling and senior football there. That we'd be a dual senior club in the Subin. So when I moved up here then, I played a little bit of football at Wexford as well. And I moved up here then. I ended up in a house with Jackie Tyrrell and Niall Tyrrell. And the two boys were big on football. So they were playing away football at that time, and I ended up playing football a little bit of transfer up here before I finished up. And I was involved for a good few years, but Richie Minogue asked me back last year to give a handout, so that's how we got involved this year.
Yeah, and you know, you're still enjoying it as much as ever?
Yeah, no, it's enjoyable. The matches are very enjoyable. I mean, they put in a big effort in those four matches. I mean, you could not fault them for effort. I mean, that's no fella never made a run to tackle, or no fella ever not tried it. I mean, that's great. That's all you want. So it's enjoyable to be involved when the effort is good.
I know before Christmas, Jim Mulvan, a great figure in football nationally and in the club as well, was honoured in Larchfield. I mean, nights like that have got to be, they're great on a number of different levels. You know, they raise awareness and they also remind people that football was a crucial part of the ethos of the club, of how lads got to know each other. And Jim Mulvan was a huge part of that. So for the club to recognise it, it seems like a real statement.
It was. That was a great night for Jim. Was a fantastic fella for football in the club for a number of years. I mean, won a few senior championships when he was involved. The last one, I think, was 2008, I think. But Jim was a great fella. That was a great night. And Sean Boylan was down. Yeah, just, I mean, the crowd there that night would have been all done a bit of football at some stage. So it has been involved. I mean, I remember that saying back in the 90s, maybe, when they weren't winning hurling championships, that they were successful in a few football championships. It just keeps a bit of momentum there and lads win something, you know. So it's always important to have football there. I mean, it's a duty of the club. You know, to have football and hurling going on, you get a number of lads. It won't be great to play hurling, but they'll play football. So you have to, as a club, you have to have the football and the hurling there, like, you know. As I said, a few of the senior and junior hurlers are playing away in the football and to get to know each other. But, I mean, you see a fella making an effort in football, you kind of know what a lad's character is like, because there's no place to hide in football. The amount of effort in a football match is, you know, in some ways, the tackling out is different to hurling. So it's no harm to see lads in action. So, yeah, lads get to know each other to build up that bit of a bond is always a good thing. But, you know, when you're winning a few games, it helps too, to be fair, you know.
You touched on it at the very start, a final to look forward to the weekend after next. It may not be the biggest final that may be on offer in terms of the overall year context, but a final is a final.
Exactly, yeah. No, it'd be nice to have a crack at that now. Thomas, now, as I said, I think won Levada, won maybe 6 of the last 7 senior football championships, so they're the kingpins, really. But Thomas won it 2021, I think. They won one in the middle there, so they're a pretty good team, and they bet Clara well in the semi-final, so we'll be up against it that night, but we'll give it a go anyway. So, yeah, it's nice to be in the final.
Yeah, and even thinking of Mullinavat in particular, it was 2 or 3 years ago when they went on that fabulous run in Leinster. It won't be front and centre in the minds, but it has to be somewhere in the back there, that a nice out run on the provincial front, it can be a great journey for a club.
Oh, can you? I mean, it just shows, you know, footballers in Kenya are as good as footballers anywhere, Liam, because they play at all. Mullinavat had a good run, they won a few games in Leinster Intermediate Championship, you know, so against strong football counties. So, you know, if the mind is put to it, it will be as good as anywhere. So, well, we'll play this league final anyway. I think the quarter-final championship might be the following weekend, so we'll see how we get on that as well.
Back to Jackie's interview with the BBC now, and one of the most influential figures in Jackie's career, as well as multiple other Kilkenny hurlers, is the late brother Damien Brennan. Brennan, who made his name in Kilkenny hurling as both a manager and selector, as well as religious figure and teacher in the former CBS in Callan, was known to welcome many prominent hurlers through his doors for advice and a simple chat about tactics and general life. Here's Jackie's reflections on the influence of Brother Damien.
At the start, I had a bit of a problem with my hamstring. He was working on my hamstring and we'd be having conversations and I just became really comfortable with him and that. And after a while, I was like, I'm actually not going out to him to get my hamstring checked or my, it's actually my head he's working on. And we just started doing things and then we started sitting down and looking at my game and how I played and what was my strengths and what was my weaknesses and started working on my feet and my footwork, started working on my fitness, started giving me targets. And his big things was, he was like, I want you to come back the next day with 3 goals. And I was like, right, so I went off. I was like, I want to win an All-Ireland with Kilkenny. I want to be playing on the team and I want to win an All-Star. He just ripped them up in front of me and put them in the bin. And he said, they're not goals. He said, and I said, why aren't they? He says, you have no control over any of them. Not one bit of a control over winning an All-Ireland, playing for Kilkenny, or winning an All-Star. So he goes, I want you to go away and think, and go back with 3 goals that you have full control over. And I went away, and I couldn't think of anything, really. So then he sat back, he goes, what have you control over? You have control over your physicality, your body fat, your fitness, your psychological, your attitude, your application. So he says, so he sent me off then, and he said, come back with 3 goals. Full control over. So then I started doing things like, I think my body fat at the time was 12%. I wanted to get into single digit. We were doing the Bronco test or the yo-yo test. I think my level was 19. I wanted to get to 20 and all those type of things. And then his next one, well, how are you going to do it? What are we going to do? So we started doing some one-on-one stuff, some field sessions, some work on my feet and things like that. And slowly things started to improve and I could see my performance. I could feel myself getting more powerful. And every time I left from being with him, I just felt better about myself. When I'd have a bad game, I'd pick the phone up and I'd go out to him. We'd have a chat and he might do a bit of work on my body and get me going again. And it was after a while I said, I don't know what this is. He's not even a physio. He's not even a psychologist, but it's working.
Now, young hurlers in James Stephens will be heading to the Kells Road in their droves over the Easter period as the annual Easter GA camps take place. From 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. on April 2nd, 3rd and 4th, a morning packed full of hurling will take place on our club grounds. With all the details, here's Juvenile Chairman Kieran Brennan.
We have our Easter GA camp coming up across the hurling and the camogie sides of the club. It's the second week of the Easter holidays, so the 2nd, 3rd and 4th of April, we'll be running it out in the Kells Road. It's a great opportunity for all the boys and girls to have back into the bit of hurling and football over the Easter holidays. Like you say, it has turned into, thankfully, an annual fixture. We have it, a summer camp as well, is obviously take place later on in the year. But no, it's a great opportunity for all the boys and girls between the age of 6 and 12 to come out to the Kells Road for the 3 days, I say the 2nd, 3rd and 4th of April.
And it's a huge boost because you take the months of January and February especially, you know, there's very little hurling going on. It's very quiet. The evenings draw in and they get dark very early. So to see the evenings brighten up and the school holidays thrown in as well, it's a huge boost for a child's confidence.
That's it, yeah. And I suppose that the under sixes and sevens and eights traditionally go back the Wednesday after the clocks go back. So our 6- and 7-year-olds haven't started yet. So this will be their maiden voyage into hurling, hopefully, if some of them come up to fixtures to our Easter camp, because then we'll go into our normal rhythm of Wednesday evenings for the 6, 7s and 8-year-olds up in Larchfield. And some of the other groups have gone back with the 8- and 9-year-olds are back playing a bit of football and hurling under lights in the Wales School for the last couple of weeks. And I see under 14s are back today and minors are playing football the last couple of weeks, and the 16s as well are doing a bit of gym work with Bill Cody, our new GPO. So look, it's all go, it's great. Thankfully the dark winter, hopefully, well, we say the winter anyway as opposed to the dark winter, is we're coming to the end of it now, and hopefully we'll be out in the Kells Road and Larchfield for plenty of nights now as we roll into the rest of 2024. The Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday of the Easter holidays, 2nd, 3rd, 4th, so 10 a.m. to 1 p.m, so it's 3 hours out there, and it'll be hurling and football. Okay. Like I say, across the boys and the hurling and the camogie part of the club. So yeah, our own club coaches will be running it. Bill Cody, He started, he replaced Nathan Cullerton over the winter as the GPO, and he's really hit the ground running. So Bill will be coordinating it. But yeah, we have our own club coaches. We'll do it. Some of our younger coaches, which is great. It's great to see their own the club role models there. I heard of it, minor and Camogie players as well, and some of the older players. So it really is. It's great for the young coaches in the club to get a bit of experience, and for the younger players to see the active hurlers as opposed to all of us older coaches who do the regular sessions as the year goes on. Mm.
And it's very refreshing as well, because we all know the serious stuff is coming down the line when it comes to adult games. But, you know, when they're starting off young, it's all about enjoying the game and just getting out and playing with their friends.
That's it, yeah. Particularly when the 6, 7, and 8 that's the entry level into the club. You know, maybe 5-year-olds might start as well with the under 6 group. But that's the entry into the club, and really our focus, we kind of look at it in three ways. You know, with fun being the primary focus for the kids, retention, as in that they come back the following year, is the second piece, and then obviously that they learned a few the technical aspects of the game, how to hold the hurl correctly, and the bits and pieces that go with the game. But we base certainly then the 6 and 7-year-olds base around fun and retention, because there's no point in coming up looking for All Ireland winners at senior level when they're 5 and 6 years of age. All we want is kids to come up, have some fun, and to make sure they come back the following year. And obviously, as they go through the years, then we look at the you know, the more technical side of things. But really, 6, 7, and 8, fun and retention, it's where we're at. Mm.
Are you finding that there's many young coaches within the club coming in and taking an interest in that role? Because there is more to playing when it comes to club life, and it just seems like there's more and more players and teams getting involved.
Yeah, I suppose what we see, particularly the camps, the summer camps and the Easter camps, it's really good to see some of the younger active players, we'll say, that might be on college holidays or from school holidays that are coming out to run the camps. Obviously, it's led by adults in the sense that the GPO, Bill Cody, will coordinate it. But that's really refreshing to see the younger players in the club. But I suppose from our own sake, then, as we go up through on the regular parts of the year, then it tends to be obviously some of the parents, because in fairness to the players, it is difficult to balance playing at, be it senior, junior level or whatever level people are playing at, and then also trying to come up and give time for coaching. So we want to try and get guys and girls up to assist us as we can, but we're fully conscious of the fact that their own work-life balance and hurling balance, it is difficult to give their time up to assisting as well. But we absolutely take them up as soon as time permits for them. Mm.
And whatever stage of life you get into coaching, and whether you have aspirations or don't of maybe moving up the chain as your own hurling career comes to an end, it's a very good grounding all the same.
It is, certainly, yeah. And it's like you say, no matter what age you're working at or working with the kids, it certainly is. It's a different challenge, and it's great to see the children that start off as 5-year-olds. And you say, like, I'm, for example, with the under-8s myself now, having started with 5, 6, and 7s. But you know, I would have trained the older players in a previous life, we'll say. But it's so different. It's so different to see, you know, how the kids progress and the fun that they have, and it's really rewarding and really refreshing to see a child at 5 or 6 going up through the years and not only enjoying the game, but really becoming good at the game as well. Because at the end of the day, you know, we are trying to make the pathway for the 5 and 6 and 7-year-olds to turn into the successful 14s and 16s and minor teams, I suppose, with a view to having a successful senior team. So that's, we don't lose sight of that either. But no, it's very rewarding.
Is it difficult at all to try and get games played and to get game time for the guys organising with different clubs, be it from inside or outside the county? And I know it's not all about results at that age, but they still love to be out there and playing.
Yeah, so I suppose across from the very younger age, there's some great little blitzes and some clubs are very progressive with that. So then we go games at 8s and 10s and 12s this year. So again, it'll be very much a coordinated effort where some of the clubs have come together in a more structured manner, obviously in a friendly manner, and a challenge game environment, is non-competitive manner. So that's like, there's a lot of, I suppose, collegiality amongst the clubs that we do try to you know, get as many games within reason for kids at that age. And obviously up to the older age, and the county board will set and dictate how those competitions go. So the juvenile part of the club is very much is two aspects. There's the older aspect, which is obviously the county board look after very well, and then our own the younger piece, which it's basically club to club arranging games and little blitzes.
Before we go, we just want to wish the best to club man Keane Kenny, who lines out in midfield for the Kilkenny Senior Hurlers this Saturday when they take on Limerick in Páirc-Uaibh. Meanwhile, it's been a fantastic couple of weeks for Joe Hennessy. He was crowned Ruby All-Ireland Handball Champion alongside his partner Johnny Brennan in Croke Park earlier this month. Well done to both players. If there's anyone you want to give a shout out to, or if you want to make a suggestion to the podcast, do get in touch via our social media channels. And while you're at that, don't forget to like and share wherever you do your podcast listening. And until next time, from me, Liam Kelly-Ourke, it's bye-bye, take care.